So I start this, our 19th episode together, with a poem by Araya Mountain Dreamer called The Invitation. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for. And if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing, it doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving, to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes, without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. I want to know if you can be faithless and therefore be trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty, even when it is not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand on the edge of a lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done for the children. It doesn't interest me who you are, how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all the easy falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. So I pulled for us today the Ace of Cups. The Ace of Cups is a beautiful, beautiful card. It's all the emotions coming up, right? The famous expression, all the feels. And so to have the Ace of Cups is to have that abundance, to have that flow. And it's going to go, I think, really well into something else I've been thinking about recently, which is that place where we learn to love, and we love, and we love until it is so large that it almost short-circuits us. It almost sends us into this place where we can't hold anymore. And of course, we're not supposed to hold it. We're just supposed to let ourselves be loved into our chipped heart, where we break again, and then our love grows bigger yet. Just like the muscles that we have in our body that need to be actually broken and torn in order to grow larger, so too our loving must come with this place where we are shattered and then decide to love again. And we love right into the scars. We love right into those places where we get hurt. And in so doing, literally the muscle grows bigger. We literally, through this trusting exercise of shattering again, learn to love so it's bigger and more encompassing. And the way we do that is by learning to love us as much as others in that moment. To be gentle with ourselves where we've been hurt. To learn, oh, I'm wounded here. What does that look like? To let the tears flow. I think the Ace of Cups is beautifully about that as well. To let all the crying out so that the joy can come again so big. If we hold tightly clenched, we're worried about being hurt again. We literally create a wall against what we can love. And just as our world can get bigger and bigger by going forward and being gracious and loving again in our hurt spots, so too protecting there makes our world smaller and smaller. We are more and more defended, and there's less and less places where not only can we love, but where we can actually feel love. The more we build those walls, who's going to get us? We become Rapunzel. Is there only the hair going out the window to possibly lead someone back to us to basically find love again? I think part of the mistake is, I was reading Ram Dass today about being love, that we should imagine that being in love is always with another person, and that process of being in love is with the world itself, and with being who we are, and being love. just coming into this place where we just love so much, we literally emit it. And as I said, we can't hold it anymore. It just spills out. And sometimes we actually need to take a break. It's almost too much love. I certainly need to take a break sometimes. I feel that overwhelmingness. And I need to recede. And it's not because I love less. It's almost because I love more. I need some time down by myself. Because my heart is so big right now. I can't hold it with a million distractions coming in. I just need to feel and to let it sort of ooze out of me slowly but surely. They're beautiful times. They're ecstatic times. I think that they're not far related, just far distant from and are related to those moments of aesthetic rapture as well. Because I think the aesthetic rapture, that place where we find beauty, is an overwhelming act of love, of feeling love, of being loved, sometimes by the world, by an object, an inanimate object. So, the Ace of Cups is this card for this week going forward. Let the love flow. Let the fullness of spring and the streams coming back and the lambs and the daffodils and the irises and the lilacs love you. Love you well. And let you love them. Because really, it's neither an action nor a feeling. It's a state of being. Let the love be. Let the love flow. Be love. Blessed be. So I want to pick up on part of the theme of last week, but also the theme of that poem that I read at the front end. I think one of the hardest things, and we were talking about this, is for us to recognize who we are, or who we are becoming. And I thought that that poem is a beautiful, the invitation is a beautiful way to say, look at who you are now. Don't look at the past. As I mentioned earlier, I was reading a little piece of Ram Dass and his Be Here Now and his thoughts about those kinds of things. And there's an expression from Be Here Now about the wake of the boat does not determine the course of the boat. Whoever you've been isn't who you're going to be or even who you are now. To assume your tragedy or your trauma of the past determines what you are is in one little way true. It folds in. It makes your richness richer. It can sometimes be where you're injured, can be your gift, right? Your blessings and your curses are often tied. So someone who is a sexual assault survivor may become the amazing advocate, might become the most amazing counselor, right, who protects others, or might end up becoming a public speaker about it, being able to speak into their pain, the humanity of where we are at, to actually sometimes to help perpetrators recover and become better people themselves, to own their stuff. All those are possible courses, but the biggest thing I want you to remember is that we are in the doorway of the moment. An infinite possibility exists on all sides of you. You can be what you want to be. You can rewrite your story right now to be what it is you want. You have the potential in you for magic and creativity. And my guess is you're already using it. You just don't see where. So I want to call you back again to this, which is, can you live with this same courage as outlined at the beginning of this poem? Can you stand up for yourself even when someone else is going to be angry or frustrated or feel betrayed? Will you not abandon yourself? I thought that was a beautiful statement and a really beautiful reminder, and definitely one I forget. There is a part of me that often looks to see, is there a way to uphold you where I can take the blame? And I think that that's far from an unusual thing, especially if we're dealing with typical gender roles for how women are raised. Where can I take the fault so you're free? It might be motherhood. It might be a lot of other things. There can be a million reasons that we say we do this. But I think at the end, part of that is a humanity's love for humanity. And another piece of that is just pure oppression floating in our bodies that we use to hold us down. It doesn't matter what else you've studied. What else can you do? Like, right? Like the poem says, it doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. Because you are a source You are a source of energy in this universe and you change it. It is really hard sometimes to know what it is. I felt like this poem is a really good place to start. Like reading poems or reading other pieces that call you to parts of yourself, to look at them and use them as explorations. I just started doing a strengths test today as well. And it was pretty interesting and not so surprising that my top strength on the list of five was believer, a belief in holding to my values, that my values come above my belief in money or my belief in anything else, that my values are what hold me to the earth and my spiritual path and my destiny. And that is absolutely true. That is definitely here. It's why I'm doing this podcast, right? It's also why I've done shamanic counseling for decades now, even before I knew there was such a term, even before I was 18, even as a child when strangers would find me on the street. It was always what I was called to do. It will never not be what I'm called to do this lifetime. I know it. I know that's why I'm here. Sometimes things aren't so clear, but that doesn't mean my path is straight and narrow or that I've made my living out of this the whole time. It's nothing like that, right? It's a lot of weight to hold on any one thing. And frankly, I don't really support shamans anymore. I would also say, though, that my other fear when looking at shamanic counseling was not being too big for my britches, right? I really didn't want to become like the cult leaders or the spiritual leaders who made the mistake of thinking they were more important than their message or how they channeled the divine to help others. We are together. We think well together. I am absolutely, independently, completely Riley, and you are you. But we are not separate, even though we are individual and selves unto ourselves. We are both a contained and a continuous ecosystem. And it is useful, I think, to always see those overlapping circles. A friend of mine and I were talking about paradoxes, how both and is almost always the answer instead of either or. It's not either myself or the group. It is both me and the group. Both things get to come first, because I'm not standing in the right place if I can't see where both things can come first. But I want you to have your own back, because no one's going to do that better than you. You're going to be the best one to have your back. You want others to protect you. All of us, I think, want second parenting again at some level, because we didn't get the parenting we deserved or needed, or just life got hard or whatever else. We are that best parent. We are the ones who can have each other's back in the secret ways we know we want to be. And part of that parenting is also the hard things, when we're willing to look like a fool. So I'm saying all these things. I've already suggested that you start the journaling. The next thing I want you to think about is adding maybe a value statement. I believe in, and just start figuring out what your values actually are. Or even maybe taking it and looking at your heroes. My so-and-so is a hero to me, where I admire them because of blank. And looking at those, and that also telling you something about what you believe in, what you think is admirable in other people. Use that as a conversation with the world to discover other parts of yourself. So, in this day, in this hour, the thing I'm asking you to do is have the bigger conversation with yourself about who you are. Find new ways to hold yourself accountable that are about looking at what you really do respect and what you really do value. And once again, going back and starting this conversation of figuring out who you are and who you are becoming. I'm asking you to do it again because it's an action-reflection cycle. I've been telling you to go out in the world and act and be social. It's also a time when there are pauses, or even when there aren't, to go back and look again and say, okay, what did that action teach me out in the world about who I am again and what I want to accomplish? What was successful in my action? Did I accomplish what I wanted to? Did I mean to? Or did I do it from the right place? Did I try to control things? What did that look like? And to be have this ongoing conversation of who are you, world? Who am I? And use that and fold that in to how you're active. Don't use it as an excuse to not act. And don't use it as, and don't go out and act and break things, so to speak, and then forget to reflect on how that happened and what you broke. hoping for you a whole larger being who is not complete yet without the rest of us. Blessed be.